We turn to the psalm which we read, Psalm 27. And we shall read again the opening verse of the psalm. Psalm 27, the first verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. We are not sure of the historical setting of this psalm. Like many of the psalms, it is simply identified as a psalm of David. But from the content of the psalm, it is clear to us that David has had conflict with his foes and he has not yet been delivered from his enemies. They come and then the psalmist cries to the Lord and perhaps he experiences a deliverance, but then they may come again. And do we not find that as believers, in this world that lieth in the wicked one, there is always a conflict, always a warfare, and we are fighting the good fight of faith. No doubt that is how a wise and loving God has ordered things, so that we do not begin to think we can take our rest here and be at ease. That is not the portion of God's people in this life. There is no discharge in our warfare. We must fight the good fight. And we must watch, and we must pray, and above all, we must continue to trust in God and to seek Him for His aid. What we find in this psalm is that David is evidencing to himself and to the Lord, and by a written psalm to others, his trust in God. And he is our example. We are thankful for those in Scripture who trusted in God and who walk with God, and whose lives are recorded in some detail. These things are for our learning. Believers in Jesus Christ are in covenant with God. That means from all eternity, God made a bond between himself and his people. He made it with Christ to be their Redeemer, to save them from their sins, and they enter into that covenant in their experience when they come to saving faith, when they trust in Christ for mercy. Then they enjoy God as their Heavenly Father, and then they enjoy also the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is our God. There's so much in that. We are his people. There is very much in that also. Christ bears the name Emmanuel. God with us. That is applicable to the whole church. But it is personal too. God is with me. If I belong to Christ, then I have a companion along the journey of life who is himself God, the Almighty, the Eternal, the Infinite One, and he takes care of all my interests. Well, in asserting his trust in God, in the opening verse, David makes some affirmations. He expresses what God is to him. God in covenant with him. Three important affirmations revealing his trust in God. And if we can make the same affirmations sincerely and with our whole heart, then we are indeed blessed by God. What then are these affirmations? Let us consider them with God's help. The first is this: the Lord is my light. Jehovah God, the God who is from all eternity, and the God who is self-existent, and who does not need any creature, but who yet has been pleased to choose sinners out of the fallen race of man, and has chosen me. He is my light. In the darkness of this world, I have God as my light. We are blessed if we can say the same. Does it not amaze us as believers that once we were prepared to go through life without any light, any sure light? And it amazes us that there are many all around us of whom the same is true. They really do not know where they are headed. They cannot explain their life, the purpose of it. But we have the explanation for all things in the scriptures. That light that shines in a dark place and has shone into our own darkened hearts and minds. And God has shone by the light of his word. God has made himself known to us, and he has done so in a way which has brought salvation to our souls. God is our counselor. Counselor is someone who gives wise advice. And here is God. And his wisdom is infinite. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows your end from your beginning. And he knows everything in between. Would you not be led by God? And would you not be thankful, as I am sure we all are, when we know, when we experience the leading of God in our lives? Especially that he ever led us to Christ when we were in spiritual darkness. Could not find the way. Others told us the gospel, and they explained what the Lord had done in their lives. We knew nothing of it. It did not have any meaning to us. We couldn't fathom it. But then the Lord was pleased to enlighten our minds in the knowledge of Christ. And in Christ we have the light of the world, the eternal light, and the one who is our guide. We think of that precious name, the Good Shepherd. Is not the shepherd the guide of the flock? Does he not lead the flock from one pasture to another? He knows where the good grazing is. And our good shepherd leads the whole flock of God, the church of which he is the head. And he leads each one of his people to that spiritual nourishment which they require. He leads them in their reading of the word and hearing of the preaching of the word. He leads them at the throne of grace. And by his Spirit, he enables them to pray according to the mind and will of God. And David experienced the leading of the Lord, his guiding, in all his difficulties, in his reign, and the affairs of the kingdom, and in his own personal life, and family life. And when David submitted to the Lord, and sought the Lord's guidance, things went well. But when David neglected to do that, trusted in his own wisdom, his own judgment, then he sinned, and then calamity came. A lesson for us. Stick close to God. Seek day and daily his guidance. In the reading and hearing of the word, have an open ear to hear what God the Lord will speak. We need that. We hear so many voices. The world speaks. The devil whispers. Our own imagination is active. There's only one thing that will do for us. God's word and the voice of the Lord. God is our counselor, our wise counselor, and our guide, our faithful guide. When David says, "The Lord is my light," he no doubt also had this in mind: the Lord comforts me. He comforts me in every difficulty and every distress. He's with me in my sorrows and my suffering. I get comfort from God, even from his word. Do we not know the same? How do we get comfort from God's word? Because of the promises of the word. All that God has provided for his people in that covenant, ordered in everything and sure. All that God has provided in our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. There is comfort. Comfort when you are brought very low. Comfort when perhaps you do not see the way forward. Not yet. You're seeking it. And the Lord will show you. But you have the comfort that in waiting upon God, he will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And he will bring you through the difficulty. And he will fulfill his promises in so doing. And God is our light until the very end of our sojourn here. What an awful thing it must be to die in darkness, in spiritual darkness, the darkness of unbelief, not wanting the word of God, not wanting to pray, utterly dark, but to have God as our light, even to the end, the light shining upon us, even as we struggle, coming to our very last day and hour and minute and moment, our very last breath. But we have light, and the Lord is with us, and we know where we are going. Light in the valley of the shadow of death. Well, the second affirmation is this: the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my salvation. And we can say that this is the heart of the matter. Salvation is the great thing. If we do not have it, we really do not have anything. Anything lasting. The salvation that God has for sinners in Jesus Christ is the heart of the matter, and it is a matter of the heart. We know David's heart. Scripture declares it. He was a man after God's own heart. And you find him there in verse 4. And he reveals his heart. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Do we see what he's saying? This is the one thing that really matters to me. Everything else can be taken from me, and this will remain. My desire for the Lord, for his presence with me in this life, and to enjoy his presence in worship, even in his house, and indeed to have that and the enjoyment of it as a foretaste of what I hope and wish for in the world to come. All the days of my life, and yes, beyond this world. There is a temple above in the New Jerusalem. God himself, Christ himself, and his people. The worship of God in a perfect way, a sinless way, a near way, an intimate way. All the Lord's redeemed there before the throne and rejoicing in salvation. This word salvation appears in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, in two distinct senses. Firstly, of course, spiritual salvation, the salvation of our soul. Deliverance from our sin, the guilt of our sin, the power of sin. That is salvation proper, and what we must be seeking first and foremost. It is all in Christ and all of God's grace. It has been won for us by our Saviour. But also temporal salvation, deliverances that we get by the hand of God. And this is God's providence at work. We use that word so frequently. And yet, so many things happen in our lives and the life of the church, and we wonder at these things. And we're tempted to think, and perhaps we give way to the temptation, that somehow things have gone astray. Things are out of control. But never must we think that way, because that is not consistent with our belief in God. We believe in a sovereign God, and he's over all that is created as the work of his own hands. And he governs everything in the creation, from the greatest thing to the least thing. And he governs it for his own glory and for the good of his cause, his church, and every believer in Jesus Christ. And the psalmist can speak
of deliverances. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. There's the conflict, the opposition. These foes, whoever he's speaking of here, were determined and they were full of enmity. They would eat up the psalmist's flesh. They would destroy him. But the Lord turned them back. God in his providence, he stopped them in their tracks. They stumbled and fell. And no doubt we've seen that in one way or another in our own lives. Spiritual foes, literal foes against us because we know the Lord, we love the Lord, we seek to walk in the paths of righteousness, we seek to speak the truth and keep the truth, and an ungodly world may find fault with that and seek to come against the Lord's people. But through prayer, faith, waiting upon God, the deliverance comes. Now, the conflict may be greater. In verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. David there, perhaps speaking as the king, and speaking of the warfare of Judah, Israel, and the enemies that came against God's people. Philistines and others. And they were fierce, and they were well armed, and they were determined. But even though they were a host, David was not afraid. War might come, but he was confident in God. Deliverance. Deliverance for the church. Friends, can we see that in our day it is becoming something like that for the church in our once favoured land? God has withdrawn much of his blessing, and we find a society decaying morally and spiritually, backslidden indeed. And the result is that where there are those who stand upon the word of God and will not budge from that position, that they are the target. They are the object of the hostility of the ungodly, especially the ungodly who are in power. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. When vile men are in power, then the wicked will have liberty to do what they will, and they must silence, as they see it, any contrary voice, any voice that speaks up for what is found in the word of God. And we must, because that is our calling. And the host may come against us. We may be like Asa of old in a time of conflict, when so many came against him and his people, and he cried unto the Lord, and deliverance came. The enemy may be greater in number,
It may seem to have all the weapons, all the power. Ah, but God is on our side. He is our refuge and strength. And we may be confident, we must be confident in Him. While it pleases Him that we should be in this world, He will take care of us. And He will restrain the wrath of man. And He will even turn the wrath of man to praise His own name. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my strength. The third affirmation. When the psalmist says that, he is speaking of bodily life, our flesh may faint and fail, the heart, we feel ourselves to be weak and no strength left. More and more that might be the case. As we go on in years, the infirmities are there, but the Lord will uphold. The Lord will keep. The sustainer of our physical man. The outward man perishes, that is true, but there are times when God remarkably upholds His people and their faculties, and they're able to serve Him right until the end. Now much may be taken from us. We can't work in the way we did. We may even struggle to attend public worship as we once did. But we still have the gift of prayer. That is precious. We can do a great work for God as long as we're able to pray, to lift up the heart, the soul, to express the desire to the Lord, to be praying for the church, for God's afflicted people, to be praying for the success of the gospel in other lands, and let us not forget our own needy land also. But then God is also the preserver of our soul. The strength of His grace. What a mighty power grace is. See it in the beginning with that quickening, that new life when we were dead in sin. See it all the way through your life. When although you've had your doubts and your fears, and there's been stumbling spiritually, you're still on the narrow way. The Lord has seen to that. He's been gracious to you. You've received grace for grace. Let that be a token that the Lord will be with you and He will preserve you in faith, in Christ, until you reach the very end of your journey. God is our strength. Look to Him. Lean upon Him. That is what the psalmist did. Two times in our text, he's saying he's not afraid. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? I need not be afraid of anyone, because the Lord is my light, my salvation, and my strength. Well, there is faith. and trust and confidence in God, it is lacking among the Lord's people, his professing people in our day. No doubt it is lacking in us. But may the word and prayer and fellowship lead to a greater confidence in our God, in what he will do for us, and what he will yet do for his own cause, even in our own land and in our own midst. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we praise thy name for all that thou art, and every promise we have in thy word. Help us to take them up and plead them before thee. And may we see answers to our petitions, that in a day of small things, thou wilt yet be amongst us for good and doing wonders in our land. Protect thy people. Deliver thy tried and afflicted ones. Set thy church free, giving her strength and boldness to declare the gospel and to call the nation to repentance. Watch over us as a congregation, our own homes and families also. And may we be able to say that thou art our light, thou art our salvation, thou art our strength. And we ask all with thy forgiveness for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall sing to God's praise in